This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN, delivered by DoorDash.
Sure.
Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. Let's start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I got to watch sports, man. I'm doing a sports show.
And let's say good evening to Don.
I wish I can go back to my first birthday.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, also brought to you by Geico, the real value in car insurance. Not how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years.
Yeah.
As we get you ready, during the commercial, I heard in the background, the voice of the one and only Dan Grasso.
How about that?
You know what's coming up. Jets pregame, baby. Buttle and Grasso. As there is an unusual amount of intrigue for this Jets game tonight, which you can hear. You know where you can hear it, guys?
Right here, 98.7 ESPN.
Wow. Beautiful.
Is Buttle there yet, or is he going to just... Oh, he is.
Yeah, of course he is.
The line at KFC must have been short.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Not a diss. That's jealousy.
No. It is.
You missed the KFC?
I'm a fan. They make a sandwich to die for.
I really do.
But you don't want to have. You don't want to make it a habit. You know what I'm saying, Peter?
No, you can't. Let's hear from Keyshawn on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. He was talking about the Jets QB situation.
And if I am Zach Wilson, and if I'm the New York Jets training staff, Zach Wilson is going to sit on the sidelines for the rest of the season as long as Mike White is doing okay. Because now I got two things. I got experience as my backup, and I already got experience as my starter who's banged up, who needs to look from the sidelines, something he probably should have done in the first place. Everything is just backwards to me. Because you went out and you traded for Joe Flacco in the middle of the season, basically, to bring him back instead of having a veteran quarterback at the beginning of the season. You started a rookie, but then you go out and get a quarterback coach simultaneously at the same time as you traded for Joe Flacco, who's a veteran quarterback, but then Mike White becomes the starter, not the veteran quarterback. It is run, in my opinion, as a football guy who's been around as a player and a non-player, disorganized.
Well, if the reason you didn't bring up a backup quarterback is because you wanted this to be the fall of Wilson, where he's going to get a chance to play all the time, then don't you have to play him? Then if Mike White plays and Wilson sits, then why didn't you bring in a veteran quarterback?
We'll never know.
Unless you're just convinced that White now is the man.
Listen, they're going to find out White now.
Oh, wow.
That was nice.
Are you sitting on that all day?
Sure. We'll find out whether or not he's the real deal or just a great White hype, you know?
I flush it.
What do you think of the uniform the Jets are debuting tonight?
I heard it's beautiful.
White jersey with black pants.
Again, the infatuation with black, I don't get.
Black pants, green. I like it. A little collegey, but I like it. I mean, let's be honest. The whole Jets uniform's already kind of collegey now.
Jets, Cleveland. I hate with the name or the city name on the jersey. I hate that. Not a fan. But what is Jerry Glanville now part of the league again? What's the infatuation with black when it's not your color scheme?
I mean, it's one thing if you're Baltimore or Tennessee, the Purple Birds. But yeah, I hear you. Also, can we just be real, Don? When you see like the Jets add like the New York or the Browns one, they add Cleveland. You know what it makes it look like?
What?
It makes it look like a movie about football where they don't have the rights to the real NFL. So they show like would-be football teams. That's what it looks like.
That is so true.
And it's like uniforms, it's like you're watching Last Boy Scout. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, or Any Given Sunday.
Right. Oh, the Nighthawks. You know the Philadelphia Nighthawks. Like they couldn't pay to get the NFL. Okay.
I remember Blades of Steel. It would be New York, Pittsburgh, Long Island.
Long Island. Yeah, it's not right. It hurts. It hurts when you're playing. You want it to feel real. Now, we'll keep it New York football, and Keyshawn from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, who are doing a great job. You can hear him every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Keyshawn sort of pointing out the obvious here, saying the Giants won the OBJ trade.
The Giants won the OBJ trade as of right now just because he didn't perform at a level. Now, that's not Jay to say that Dave Gettleman saw the end of OBJ, and so he sent him off to die in Cleveland and ruin his career. It's not like that. He just happened to be in a bad situation in Cleveland.
It's kind of that. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, listen, we talked about this yesterday. Who was it? Was it Dan?
Dan.
Or was it Ryan earlier this week? When we talked about, you never know, you know, Randy Moss, you know, all of a sudden he looked like he wasn't the same guy, and then he got to New England, had the best year of his career. So, you know, maybe Odell does go to the right situation, and all of a sudden we see Odell again. But right now, he hasn't been good.
Yeah, but there were situations with Randy, you know, with the mooning in Green Bay and walking off the field in Washington. But for the most part, he was always considered a good teammate.
By the way, the exit strategy on Beckham is awful. I mean, he doesn't just burn bridges, he napalms them.
Well, here's a couple things. Two things, Don, I'm going to call you out. You should never include the mooning thing as an actual thing.
No, but
that was Joe Buck. That was the biggest mistake of Joe Buck's career.
No, I agree. I mean, the fact that he was so outraged by it. But, I mean, I'm just saying that those are the two things you kind of remember Randy by. And he smoked weed in Marshall, whatever. But the fact is, Randy Moss gets, like, pigeonholed as one of those, like, diva bad guys sometimes.
Yeah, he doesn't
not.
Deserve it. No.
He was a good teammate. He was a heck of a player. You know, T.O. would probably be a better comparison as far as, like, burning bridges with organizations and stuff. But not Randy Moss going to New England, everybody knew that was going to work.
No, that's fair. That's a good point. Now, an unnamed source from the Browns, a player on the team, has said that OBJ, quote, does nothing, talks to no one, and has a malcontent attitude. OBJ excused from Cleveland practice for the second straight day, and they are reportedly unsure of his future in Cleveland.
Also, think about it. The thing that made this come to the head was the social media post by the dad. If you want to get out, say it yourself. And then you don't even talk to the quarterback. I mean, you just leave it out there. The father hangs out Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying Baker Mayfield is an innocent in all this, but if you want to leave, leave. Don't go that, like, really. That's kind of a sketchy way to do it. It's just awful. Hiding behind your dad? You're an adult. I don't want to be here. I don't like the way this quarterback treats me. I want out.
So a couple of notes for tonight's Jet game.
Oh.
Against Indy. The Jets' 6-game losing streak in prime time is the second longest active streak in the NFL behind
Giants.
Beautiful.
I think, isn't Daniel Jones, he's 0-7, right?
I think he's 0-8 now, right?
I think it's 7.
I think it's 7 because it was 0-6 before this last one.
Okay. I just saw the 0-7. I can't remember if it was before or after the game.
Detroit, Houston, and the Jets are the only three teams to not be favored in a game this season.
Oh, that's changing. After they knock off the Colts, they're going to be favored over the Bills. You watch.
Yeah. I got to tell you, this gambling's a rush, man.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. A couple of awful things from the Henry Ruggs story.
Ugh.
I know. Well, we're not going to live here. We did a bunch on this earlier today, and it's just so sad and so awful. Ruggs is 22 years old. He was driving his Corvette Stingray 156 miles an hour on his way home just after 3:30 a.m. He was 110 miles an hour above the speed limit. There's now video that shows that he was at Topgolf partying beforehand, and he was having trouble teeing off at Topgolf. That's how drunk he was, reportedly. Bystanders heard the woman who died in the accident screaming. They tried to save her, but the heat and then explosion of fire kept everyone away from being able to try to pry her out of the car. Both her and her dog died in the flames. After the crash, Ruggs reportedly hung out of the driver's side of the Corvette with his feet on the floorboard, his body laying on the road, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He refused to participate in a field sobriety test and yelled at cops who tried to interview him as he was treated for his injuries in a trauma unit.
You know what I've always wondered, Peter? How do people that are so drunk, right, that they get into car accidents, how do they have enough sense to say, I'm not going to take part in a field sobriety? How does that click in? Why is the mind working there?
I think he just yelled no. Ruggs,
but most people say they refuse a sobriety test. Most people that drunk, they know enough that they don't take a sobriety test. Why does it click in? They can't operate a vehicle, but that clicks in.
It's a very interesting point. Ruggs told officers to, quote, get him out of here, and repeatedly yelled no when they asked him what happened. Quote, Ruggs began mumbling, according to an officer, who described his speech as not understandable and his attitude as unresponsive. He then tried to tear the IVs out of his arm and began to yell, get me the bleep out of here, according to reports. Ruggs continued to yell from his bed and refused to listen to hospital staff and yelled that they were not doing anything for him. A judge later approved a warrant for a blood draw, which showed his blood alcohol level of 0.161, twice the legal limit. Now, of course, remember, that's a few hours later probably at that point. He was in a neck brace as he was pushed in a wheelchair to his first court appearance yesterday, pending the felony charges he's facing.
And you wonder, I always wonder too, because like Michael, you're wondering, like, why is the knee jerk not to take the breathalyzer and all that? You think this was the first incident of him drinking and driving? He's probably been pulled over before. And the police probably, you know, drove him home or followed him home to the point where he felt like nothing's going to happen to me. And every time he probably didn't do the breathalyzer, so there was no documentation of him being drunk. So this was probably not the first time he drove drunk.
Can we also be realistic with ourselves as society? We don't, as a whole, we don't do a good job telling people, hey, you can't drive. He was at Topgolf with friends, his girlfriend. The woman in the car with him was the mother of his child. No one was able to say, hey, dude, you know where that Topgolf is? It's right off the strip. It's right there. Just leave the car. You know how easy it is to get a cab and to get anything at that Topgolf in Vegas? It's in the middle of everything. Like, how did no one say, dude, we've been pounding Mai Tais all night. You cannot drive. How?
If he was belligerent to the police officers, he's probably belligerent to his friends and to his girlfriend. They probably said something. He probably said, shut up.
I mean, and he was willing to drive 156 miles an hour, too. You know, that's...
You also have to realize, and this is a terrible thing to generalize, but a lot of times, quote-unquote, friends with famous people, they're hangers-on. You think they want to stop the meal ticket? You think they paid for the Mai Tais?
Oh, meal ticket's over now.
But imagine standing up to, like, a big star and go, no, you shouldn't get in the car. Well, you're cut off forever.
And also, like, imagine how dumb it is to get in the car drunk, but you're like, I got to drive 5 minutes, so I'm going to grip the wheel and go the speed limit and follow every law just to make sure I make it home. That's stupid on one level. Imagine the amount of levels you go up when you get in the car and go, yeah, I know I'm under the influence, clearly. I'm not going to drive slow as I can. I'm going to go 150 miles. Imagine that. How out of his mind. I just obviously has problems galore. It's awful. The attorney for the women suing Deshaun Watson says the settlement talks have broken down over NDAs. Tony Busby told a Houston television station, Fox 26, on Tuesday that there were non-disclosure agreements which got pushback by many of the women. Busby said he and his colleagues modified the NDAs substantially but added there were still some women who said, I'm never going to sign that. Busby called the NDAs, quote, a deal breaker in efforts to settle the cases. His interview was the first confirmation from either of the legal teams involved in Watson's cases that the two sides had entered a period of mediation. So let me get this straight, Michael. Watson's attorney is saying, if we're going to pay you off, you're not talking.
Right. Which I guess I understand. And the women say, no, you're paying me off for what happened to me and I could still talk.
Hmm. And this is probably what Ross and the Dolphins heard about was coming and didn't make the deal at the deadline.
Yeah, didn't in that story, Peter, I think it said that Ross demanded 22 settlements before making a deal. Not like 20. He wanted 22 settlements.
Right. He wants it to be completely done.
Right.
And it wasn't going to happen. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Guys, I spoke to Kamaru Usman, who has a huge fight on Saturday night against Colby Covington at the Garden, part of UFC 268, which you can watch on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. I also talked to Thug Rose Namajunas, who has a huge rematch against Wang Shay Lee, also at UFC 268. And when I asked Usman, who's been the best in the sport now for a couple of years, number one pound-for-pound fighter, what's next for him potentially should he beat Covington on Saturday? He had an interesting answer, I thought.
When have you ever seen the two pound-for-pound fighters in combat sports, both at the top of their game, at their prime, go at it? We've never seen that. You know, I think it'd be the biggest fight in history. Of course, it's a money fight that sets us both up for a long time.
I mean,
time.
Sets you up. It sets up your generation after generation a fight like that.
Exactly. And why not? Why not give the people that? Why not entertain? Because, you know, typically we never see the two pound for pound similarly close in weight. It's usually a smaller guy and a bigger heavyweight, or a smaller guy or a bigger heavyweight and a smaller guy. So, you know, that possibility is never there, but it's quite possible now. It's very possible.
So you want Canelo
head to head?
You want Canelo?
Yeah. Why not?
Got to tell you guys, it would be intriguing. Because they're both absolutely still at the top of their game. And all these sort of mixed fight ideas that we've had. Like, we all know that Mayweather and McGregor was a clown show from the beginning. No expert thought Mayweather had an actual chance. Now, listen, I'm sorry that McGregor had an actual chance. Now, listen, I think there's a chance a lot of experts here wouldn't give Usman a chance against the kind of puncher that Canelo is and how good of an actual boxer he is. But they are similar in size. They are at the actual top of their game. And, guys, you guys both know who Canelo is. Mm-hmm. I would venture to say neither of you have ever watched a Canelo fight.
No, no. I think I've watched one, yeah.
Like one?
I don't recall which one, but I remember watching him.
And yet you would also say you've known that he's been at the top of the sport now for, what, at least half a decade?
Mm-hmm.
So he needs a fight like that, too.
Are you going?
On Saturday? No.
Yeah.
No. Although, by the way, guess what? It's a great night for fights. UFC 268, which has at least three big sort of mainstream fights on the card.
Isn't that ESPN Plus?
That's right. It's an ESPN Plus pay-per-view vehicle. But Canelo has a fight, maybe his biggest challenge he's had in a very long time, against Caleb Plant on Saturday night as well. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of it. All right, guys. We only have 2 minutes left and so many things to discuss. Oh, Davante Adams is back from the reserve COVID-19 list. Of course, he'll be catching balls from Jordan Love this weekend. Is it weird? I'm kind of tempted to bet Green Bay. It's a big number for KC. They are
gonna
not.
Pick 'em. You're going to be down one game after tonight, so the next two better be good.
Pick 'em.
Don? Jack Eichel to Vegas?
That's right. Finally, the deal is
done.
What's
he going to play, though, Don?
Excuse
me? When's he going to play, health-wise?
It sounds to me Vegas is saying that maybe next 4 or 5 months, which means because they got all kinds of cap problems now bringing in that kind of salary. He gets $10 million a year on the cap hit for the next four. but they're hoping that, you know, he'll be back in time for the playoffs and they'll be able to circumvent the cap that way. So Alex Tuch goes back to Buffalo along with a couple of conditional picks and a former first-round pick, Greps. So it was a nice deal. It was a deal that they had to make, and now we can finally move on, and hopefully Eichel will be ready for the playoffs.
Well, guess what? I have a big one-pointer, the Jets with 10 points tonight. Let's see what happens. That'll do it for ENN, delivered by DoorDash. Save money on convenience, grocery, and more when you sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash. With zero delivery fees, you're free to get all your faves whenever you want. Sign up for Dash Pass and try it for free for 30 days.
Please sit back and enjoy our Jet coverage, starting in moments with Dan Grosser and Greg Buttle, and then the play-by-play right here on 98.7 as well. We have a big Football Friday tomorrow. We'll recap this game. We'll look ahead to the Giants and the Raiders. We have Mike Tannenbaum as well. We'll all make our picks. We'll make fun of Peter if he loses today. What a show. It almost does itself. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for a goodbye again. See everybody.
Let's go,
have
Jets.
A great night.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.